The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Kids on the Go. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Scout Life. Airy on the Prairie. Scout answers reader mail. I can see summertime peeking over the horizon. Everybody, let me help Airy here, or Scout. I can see summertime peeking over the horizon, everybody, so get excited. It makes me want to do one of my favorite things, catch some air. When I come back down, I'll get to your letters. When girls could be in all the scouting programs, I joined immediately. I'd always looked up to my brother and his troop, hoping to go on their campouts and events. When I joined, I was so happy to finally be with my brother. Now that I'm so close to earning Eagle, I look back and think how, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be in Scouts. From Alice L. in Fruitland Park, Florida. Alice, your story is inspiring. It's one that celebrates all of the youth in Scouting. That's what Scouting America programs are all about. Keep pushing toward that Eagle rank. Your dedication will set a great example for others, just like your brother did for you. We are here at Scout Life are cheering you all the way. Thank you for all the great stories and articles. I really enjoy reading about other Scouts' adventures, service projects, and ways they live out the Scout oath and law. It inspires me to try new things and to make a difference in my own community. It has made me strive to continue my Eagle Scout work and pursue all the goals I have in mind. From Donovan R. in Chapin, South Carolina. You're so welcome, Donovan. We do our best to churn out magazine content that's exciting and enjoyable. Speaking of service and living the Scout oath and Scout law, Chief Scout Roger has something to say about that in his answer to a recent Scout question. Dear Chief, my pack has been talking about ways we can honor our country. We're going to be in a 4th of July parade this summer. I'm so excited about it. But I want to do something right now. Can you think of anything? From Callan J. in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Thanks for writing in about this very important topic, Kalen. Honoring our nation is a huge part of Scouting. You might want to think about participating in an activity for Memorial Day, which is coming up soon. I'm sorry, this was recorded in May. Thank you and your pack for living the Scout Oath and Scout Law. Now back to questions for Scout. Everything you put into the magazine is a whole other world of interesting. I've always loved the jokes, and this time it's no different. I just want to share an opinion about the Skating Merit Badge section, up to new tricks in September 2025 issue. It's very detailed and captivating, and the formatting is probably the best part. I think skateboarding should be taught more nowadays. Do you think so too? Does it matter to you at all? From Owen L. in Lewisburg, North Carolina. Does it matter to me at all? It's something that matters to me big time, Owen. After all, skateboarding is perfect for birds. Two legs and wings gives us an ideal body type for it. And catching major air? No one doesn't like an eagle. There's a reason we don't get to compete in that sport. It'd be no contest. So I agree with you. Humans need a lot of work in the sport, and it should be taught more. I can't wait to see you all again in June. Well, this is June when summer is official. In the meantime, get out there with your service projects and skateboards and whatever else keeps you flapping. Now on to Ask Us Anything. Have a question you don't know who to ask? Jenny and Steve are here for you. I am 12 and already starting to think about college. My friends and family tell me that I'm too young to stress over it. Is that true? Steve says, in a word, yes. There's nothing wrong with thinking about it, but don't stress over it. Focus on the here and now, doing well in school, embracing new experiences, and being a good kid. When the time comes in a few years, you can glide smoothly into the college prep process with no regrets. Jenny adds, I'm impressed that you're thinking about your future. It's smart to note which activities and subjects you're passionate about. That said, I totally agree with Steve. While looking ahead isn't a bad thing, it's great, in fact, you need to do so with an open mind. At 12, you should be trying new things and learning, not settling down. Another reader asks, I have a problem with being unorganized. I really need help because it's causing a distraction for my schoolwork. How can I get more organized? Jenny says, the main problem with being disorganized is that it makes you feel more overwhelmed by work. That leads to stress, which makes it hard to get anything done. One easy way to get your thoughts and priorities in order is to make a to-do list. Buy a cheap day planner or calendar, and every night, make a list of what needs to be done the next day. Write down each assignment and put a star next to the things that are most urgent. After you complete each task, cross it off the list. It's super satisfying. Steve adds, along with a to-do list, another great way to stay organized is to keep your papers in order. So while you're getting that day planner, grab a big binder and some manila dividers too. Label the tabs on the dividers with each of your subjects and file your papers accordingly. Trekking to the top. In pursuit of a cool award, this troop discovers new heights. Hunkered down in a windbreak area on a mountainside, the girls of Troop 555 pack their day packs for an early morning hike to the summit. They grab their 10 Scout essentials and a creme brulee freeze-dried treat to share. The creamy custard tasted extra sweet after they reached the top, but not nearly as sweet as their shared sense of accomplishment and camaraderie. I think the mountains are a bonding experience, says Life Scout Anadita Thode, 15. You never know someone until you're hiking a really steep hill with them. Trekking up the 10,649-foot tall San Bernardino Peak marked the first big challenge the San Diego, California troop had worked together to conquer. Medal Quest. Many Scouting America councils offer special awards scouts can earn for going on local adventures. The councils in Southern California have patches for hiking in a national forest, cycling to a local historical site, and backpacking in the snow. Then there are the mountain awards. Scouts can take home patches and medals for summiting certain peaks. The Four Peaks Medal caught the attention of Troop 555. To earn it, they needed to hike to the top of Mount San Antonio, Mount San Jacinto, San Gorgonino Mountain, and San Bernardino Peak, each towering at least 10,000 feet above sea level. I knew I wanted the medal for a long time, says Fiona Skinner, 13, a Life Scout. I've gone to San Gorgonio when I was in the fifth grade. Hiking to the top of a mountain can be tough, so the girls prepared by going on training hikes. Those definitely helped them conquer the 18-mile round-trip trek up San Bernardino, which required covering more than 4,500 feet in elevation. That meant a steep trip up and down. It was steep for a long time, says Life Scout Penelope O'Brien, 17. The first day was much harder than the second day. My calves were really sore after the trip. Climbing up, up, up. In addition to being fit, following safety protocols and watching the weather are also important for high-altitude hikes. The troop's first attempt at climbing San Bernardino was canceled because of a blustery late-winter storm blew through the area. For the second try, the scouts brought ice axes and traction devices for their boots in case they encountered any snowfields. They didn't. They had good weather for hiking, but it wasn't a straight path to the top. It was basically switchbacks, said Life Scout Esperanza Thode, 17, describing the zigzagging trail that led him up a steep hill. There were lots of changes of scenery. It was a slow, constant pace. The girls took turns leading the group. The hiker in the front set the speed, and another scout was in charge of the map. We'd pull the map out and figure out where we were and where we'd have our next break, Penelope says. We'd have an estimate of when we'd get to camp. After several hours, they got to a site shielded from the wind where they could pitch their tents. At the summit. For the rest of the day, the scouts hung out at camp and enjoyed the sunset. It was super cool seeing the ocean of clouds at sunset, Fiona says. Not a lot of people get to see that. The girls headed to bed with photography plans for the next summit, for the summit hike in the morning. The rest of the way to the summit would be fairly easy. Our plan was to get up there and take sunrise photos, Fiona said. We were a little late because we always are. At the top, the scouts snapped some group photos and signed their names in a notebook kept in the permanent lockbox. But mostly, the scouts took in the view, jagged neighboring peaks extending into the horizon in all directions. It was absolutely gorgeous up there, Fiona says. I'm looking forward to the view on our next trip, said Madeline O'Brien, 15, a first-class scout. The journey continues. In many situations, hiking downhill feels a lot easier than hiking up, and it can be tempting to rush, especially if a visit to a Mexican restaurant awaits, a Troop 555 tradition after a campout. But if you walk too fast, you can trip and fall on a rocky trail. The pace setter forced us to slow down, Penelope says. As Troop 555 worked towards the Four Peaks medal, the scouts are collecting more than awards. They're making memories. I think everyone grew closer, Fiona says. We grow closer on every trip. The higher you go, tackling a mountain, take your time while ascending and stay hydrated. But also watch for symptoms of acute mountain sickness. This dangerous condition can happen at 6,000 feet or more in elevation, where oxygen levels are low. Early signs include headaches, nausea, and exhaustion. If you don't stop or descend, symptoms can become more severe and even result in death. Here's an excerpt from George Goodwin, Dragon Slayer, A Scouting Legend, by Candace Lee and Eric Newman. What's happened so far? Scout George Goodwin, 12, and four scout friends have journeyed to the coal mine where George's dad and other explorers died in a cave-in while looking for diamonds. Now George is on a quest to prove his father was right about the diamonds, and to clear his name after his dad was blamed for the cave-in. But instead of diamonds, the scouts have discovered something terrifying in the mountain. A Chapter 10 excerpt. The treasure map. Several hundred feet below ground, George came face to face with a monster, a dragon. Its head jutted through a hole in the mine wall, massive and menacing. its jagged crown scraping the ceiling, jaws wide enough to swallow George whole. Even as fear clutched his chest, he couldn't help but stare in wonderment. Diamond horns gleamed at the crown of the dragon's head like chiseled blades. A long pointed snout blew out tiny tornadoes of dusty air. But most striking of all were the dragon's cobalt eyes. They glowed electric blue, smooth and unblinking, almost void of life. No pupils, no irises, no patterns one would expect to find in the eyes of a living creature. Yet the fiend before him was very much alive. George was so mesmerized that he hardly noticed the beast rearing back, poised to attack. The same crystalline blades that had just obliterated the cinder block wall are now aimed directly at him. He screamed, stumbling as he scooted away, boots skidding. The creature crept over the mound of rubble, closing in. An overwhelming smell hit him, sharp and metallic, like the air after a lightning strike. "We gotta move," Skunks shouted. Once the gang rounded the corner, they collapsed against the wall, buzzing with adrenaline. George whipped around to see the dragon pulling itself through the mining tunnel like an oversized bat, a pair of hooked claws extending from the middle of its wings. The gang scrambled away, shrieking at the top of their lungs. The beast answered with a soul-shaking roar. The mining tunnel seemed to stretch in a single direction for eternity. George was at the front while his friends desperately tried to keep pace. "Left, turn ahead," he sputtered through gasps of air. George disappeared around the corner, followed by Clementine, Artie, and then Flo. But Skunk stumbled, smacking his head on the craggy floor. Dazed, he turned to see the dragon only a stone's throw away. The beast reared back, sucking in air, expanding its chest, its electric blue eyes blazing. Skunks let out a panicked yelp, pulling himself to his knees. He had no intention of becoming a flame-broiled dragon snack, but the dragon had no intention of letting him go. It opened its mouth and spewed a stream of fire at Skunks. Just as he felt the hot flames licking his neck, Skunks was yanked into the adjoining tunnel. With a wall of fire behind them, Flo and Artie dragged their friend to safety. The gang switched off their flashlights, headlamps, and camera in the dark, and the darkness enveloped them. George caught a glimpse of the dragon slinking by, searching for its prey. With each slow, rumbling breath, bioluminescent veins pulsed across its body like a tangled web of glowing rivers. The dragon finally passed. "So, maybe this would be a good time to go back to camp," George said. "Yes," Artie exclaimed. Between the miner's dynamite and the dragon's devastating onslaught, the path back to the entrance lay in ruins. The gang maneuvered around boulders and rubble, picking their way through the remnants. "Oh no," George shouted from up ahead. His headlamp shone on a massive blockade of rubble. "That's our way out, or at least it used to be." "No," Artie pounded the boulders obstructing his path. "Not today." "I'm trapped," Flo cried. "I'm trapped in a coal mine with no cell service and a monster." "Just be cool, everybody," Clementine said. "There's got to be another way out. Right, George?" Everyone looked to George, the only person who had been in these mines before. "Sure," he said, though his expression was anything but confident. "Wait," he exclaimed, remembering something. He knelt on the ground and pulled a thick bundle from his pack. When he ripped the rubber band off the roll, the pages burst open, revealing piles of handwritten notes, topographical maps, internet research, and photos of different rocks. "What's all this?" Clementine asked. "This was my dad's," George marveled. He rifled through the precious pages and photos. "Why was your dad studying fossils and meteorites?" Artie asked, holding up several pages of research. George's gaze was drawn to a black and white image of giant rocks hurtling through outer space, leaving a trail of dust. "I heard about the diamonds, but not all this," George mused, wondering what his dad had really been up to. "There's got to be something here to help us find our way out." "It looks complicated," Flo fretted. "And we're not professional map readers." "No," George said, "but we are scouts." Clementine pointed to a diagram. "This big mountain," she said. The scientific drawing divided the underground into sections, each marked with a different color. "It's a geological survey," George said. "The green is the forest area, like where our troops come camping. The brown is the topsoil. The gray shows different rock layers. The blue is water. And the black shows coal." "How do you know all this stuff?" Flo asked. "Geology merit badge," George said. "My dad is, well, he was a geologist. He helped me get that badge on our last campout together. But what we really need is a map of the mines." George rummaged through the documents until he uncovered a hefty piece of coal-smudged paper labeled Hellerman Brothers Mine. Everyone leaned in to look. The map displayed a massive labyrinth of tunnels and chambers, each path twisting into the next. "Hmm," Skunk said, officially stumped. "Anybody have their orienteering merit badge?" "There's two exits," George said, pinpointing a pair of identical markers on the map. "But the other one's on the opposite side of the mountain. That's where we need to go." Artie's fingers landed on a long, vertical rectangle at the very edge of the map. "This looks like an elevator that'll take us to the top of the mountain." Clementine pinched her fingers on either side of the map scale, measuring the distance, then applied that same span across the page. "That's 2 miles away." George said, "Look at these white areas." "Look, these white areas are the tunnels through the mountain where the coal has been taken out." "And the black areas?" Flo asked, pointing to the vertical stripes running across the map. "Pillars. It's basically solid coal," George said. "But if you take those out, the whole mountain will fall down on top of you." "I wonder what that red blob means," Artie asked, pointing at the hand-drawn circle at the bottom. "That's it." George slammed his hand down on the page. "That's got to be where the diamonds are. The day my daddy found his first diamond, he said they were digging deeper than ever before. That's got to be the spot." Skunks grinned. "So you're saying this is a treasure map?" Clementine popped the lens cover off her camera and started filming again. "So how do we get to the diamonds?" "We don't," Flo interjected, crossing her arms. "We don't get to the diamonds because we're going to get out of the mines and call Dad." "But then again, if we follow this path," George said, tracing a zigzagging trail through the white tunnels on the map, "maybe we can see the treasure and get out of the mines." The gang exchanged glances, their eyes flickering with excitement and fear. Skunks finally broke the silence. "We'll follow your lead, George." Bolstered by his friend's confidence in him and with the help of his father's map, George sped through the dizzying maze of white-dusted walls. He might have earned his orienteering merit badge in the woods behind his family's double-wide trailer, but the same principles applied down here in the coal mines. Finally, George found the spot he was looking for. He dropped to his hands and knees and pounded on the floor of the tunnel with his fist. "What are you doing?" Flo jogged up to George. "According to the map, there should be a trap door around here," he said. "Help me find it." Skunks, Artie, and Clementine began combing the cold, damp ground with their hands, searching for a hidden door. Boom! A loud crash shook the tunnel. Flo shone her flashlight in the direction of the sound, illuminating a swirling cloud of dust and falling rubble further down the tunnel. Just then, George's fist made a hollow thumping sound. Heart pounding, he swept away a thick layer of limestone dust, exposing the wooden slats of a trap door. With a grunt, he pulled the rusty metal handle at its center. The door groaned open, revealing a rickety ladder plunging into a dark vertical shaft. The gang gathered around the narrow opening. "You're telling me this is my best chance of survival?" Artie asked as he gazed into the seemingly endless abyss. Boom! Another crash shook the walls, rattling their bones. Flo's light caught the dragon, roaring as it raced towards them. "Everybody down the ladder," Artie shouted. "Go, go, go!" So Scout Life offers you a chance to enter to win a copy of George Goodwin's Dragon Slayer, a scouting legend. Go to go.scoutlife.org/dragon. Scouting around. Make your voice heard. Do you have ideas for scouting? The Scouts serving in the National Scouts BSA Youth Council have shared ideas that have led to some big changes. Since it was created in 2021, the Youth Council, about 40 Scouts, has provided influential feedback from uniform adjustments to handbook revisions. And starting next month, you can apply to be on the 2026-2027 team. The Youth Council meets online every month to thoughtfully collaborate on projects and eventually present recommendations to Scouting America's national adult leaders. But you don't have to be on the Youth Council to make a difference. Here are some ideas you can do in your unit. Do your best with your position of responsibility and brainstorm ideas on how you can best serve your troop. As troop historian, for example, you can research your troop's archives and ideas for future outings or ceremonies. As quartermaster, you might come up with a new organizational method to help scouts find their gear faster. Be prepared for your board review. This shouldn't be a retest of your skills and knowledge. It's an opportunity to share your ideas with adult leaders. Be ready to talk about how you think the program is working. Take the troop self-assessment. These short surveys can help your troop understand how it's going and provide resources on how to make the program better. go.scoutlife.org/assessments. We've run out of time for today's episode of Kids on the Go. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. Kids on the Go is generously supported by the Raleigh Kiwanis Foundation. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Kids on the Go is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.